Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Josh. Who's Josh?
Where are they going?
What's Josh's name? Why do we like Josh best?
Because he's the best one to tell us speech.
Oh, okay.
And parks.
He's the best one to tell us about beaches and parks.
And rockets.
And rockets. Okay. Well, thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Little stiff-necked dickhead. Oh, like Josh, he knows about beaches. Oh, fucking pathetic. Well, who's that? Who's that dick? Too much.
No, I think that's fair. I think this is from Cassie, is the mum.
Yeah.
We thought you might enjoy this intro. Theo is three, and we have been really enjoying hearing you both go through the same things as us. I should explain that I don't think he really has a favourite.
Oh, okay.
But
I'll
due to listening to your podcast so often, he automatically calls any Josh Widdicombe.
Oh.
His new swimming teacher is called Josh, and he thinks they're the same person.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is ironic, because I can't swim, Robert.
No. Honestly?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I was allergic to chlorine as a child, so I never learned.
What happened?
He used to give me itchy legs.
He gives everyone itchy legs, you tart.
No, mate, my legs were then cut to ribbons with all the scratching.
They are really itchy. Proper itchy.
Yeah.
Also, can I call you a tart? Is it? Are you allowed to call someone a tart?
I enjoyed it. I felt like I was Rodney and you were Delboy.
Thought we went back in time, you tart. Is that allowed?
Is it all right?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out.
It's fine, yeah. Do you know why we don't know if it's allowed? Because no one's done it in 20 years, so it's never been tested.
No one's actually heard it. It's so little used that young woke people can't be offended by something they've never even heard of before.
Exactly.
You definitely can't call a woman a tart. That's bad. That you can't say a tart for a woman, but for you, I think you can call you a tart. I think I can call a straight white guy a tart. Ah, tart is an offensive word for a woman who dresses or behaves in a way that suggests she wants to have sex with lots of people. You look like a tart.
I think it's been, in this context, I quite enjoyed it.
Okay, fair enough.
Made me feel a little aroused, if I'm honest with you.
Oh, have I been flirting? Oh, you're going to get itchy legs after this, you dirty bitch. I can't call you a dirty bitch. That's definitely not allowed. Definitely had a double shot of coffee today, Josh. Definitely. How are you, Josh? You seem quite stressed, yes.
Yeah. Well, I just did the nursery run.
Yeah, and we're starting half an hour late, and you also need to be finished at a certain time as well. I don't want to say, you know, there's a diva in this double act, but it feels like it would be you at this point.
Well, yeah, I'm later than, you know.
You have got the youngest kid, though, so I think that's a get-out-of-jail-free
yeah.
card.
Yeah. Well, do you know what it was? So I was dropping my daughter off at nursery.
Yep.
It's a nightmare to get taxis round in at the moment, Rob, for some reason.
Well, is it a bit of a rush on? Is it the school drop? The old taxi school rush?
I don't understand what's going on. Ever since it came out of lockdown, the taxi industry has gone bad in East London. It used to be that I was in an absolute taxi hotspot because, as you know, the main road in from Essex goes very near my house.
Yes, yep. Yeah, and from South East London, whenever I go into town, I often drive past your little parade of shops.
Oh, do you?
Yes, if I'm getting a cab into town, we go up through the Blackwall Tunnel, hooker left, Victoria Park, Josh Widdicombe's house, London.
There we go. Yeah, don't give the specific address, but...
Oh, well, Victoria Park's big, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine, totally fine.
Oh, yeah, Josh lives in the house next to Victoria Park. Good luck. Come on, guys. They're all going to know where I live now. So no taxi?
No, it's two of them cancelled.
Can't you drive?
Well, I'll come to that in another story, Rob.
Okay.
So in the end, had to get a taxi.
Yeah.
Two cancelled. The third one, following on my little map on my app.
So do they go in a car seat then? How does it work?
No, they're allowed in a black cab.
So just rattle around in there if it crashes,
egg
cup in a box.
Put a seatbelt on her.
All right, yeah, you square.
Just give her a cigarette, put a seatbelt on her, she's fine. Oh, you can't do Ubers.
Oh, that's against the rules because there's no car seat in there.
I don't know. Yeah, I've Googled it.
You've Googled it.
Yeah. So
I just Googled tart meaning. We're all Googling, mate. Navigating our way through this crazy messed up world.
Anyway, he overshoots. Watching him on my little map, and he completely overshoots and misses the main road that runs through the Victoria Park. Goes completely the other direction. I phone him up. He's only dropping his kid off at school after taking the job, Rob.
So he took the job.
Took
his kid to school.
Dropped his kid to school and then came and picked me up.
Oh, is that like when you get a Deliveroo and they're dropping off someone else's pizza?
Yeah,
and then they come and bring yours.
But normally, you know when it's like an Uber and it's like, oh, just completing job, you can see it. But I didn't know he was going to go to a different school. Anyway.
No, that's mental. You can't be called free now, just free now, unless I need to take my kid to school.
I'm free now. Also, yeah, I tell you what. Anyway.
I know you're tired. You can't be bothered to finish banter.
No, I can't be bothered to finish banter. Eventually, get there. It's all fine. I had to make him wait, though. Normally, I'd get an Uber back if I was in a panic to save money.
So you paid, you just made him wait and then got in again? Mate, your lifestyle. You're like one of the Ecclestons.
I couldn't believe what I was doing. I made a taxi wait. It's a quick drop-off at that point. Don't care if you're nervous about me going. I've got to leave you here. The time is money here.
Oh, God. We had to get back for this, didn't you?
I haven't eaten in 18 hours, Rob.
Why not?
Well, because...
What did you have for dinner?
I misjudged my food yesterday.
So you went to the Cheltenham Book Festival?
I went to the Cheltenham Book Festival.
What time did you get home?
12:30.
Because the M4 was shut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. How'd you do it?
I come back from Bristol, mate.
Oh, right. Oh, we could have shared
left. We're all working.
We're all working. So what time did you get back?
I got back at 1 a.m.
Oh, mate.
M4 shut in two separate jokes. What is this? What is this podcast? What the fuck are we doing? We've got good people that listen to this. And me and you are talking about the fucking M4 like a pair of silly old pricks.
Get a pair of old tarts.
Oh, I really hope tarts is okay if it's just us calling each other tarts now. Fine, Michael's going to have a terrible time editing this. We'll just bleep it out and it looks like we just keep calling each other bit of an heavy morning for them two today.
Something's up at lockdown parenting, I'll tell you that for free. I got there.
Yeah.
At 5, they were like, it's great, there's free food. And then I just kept having to do things. Like, I was on at 7.
Yeah.
And then it got to like 6:40 and they were like, do you want a roast dinner? And I'm like, no. Of course I don't want a roast dinner.
So you had to go on and talk about your book for an hour,
basically.
So I had to go
on and talk about my
book.
Yeah. So I don't want a fucking roast dinner. And also, like, if you're...
Imagine having a roast dinner and then performing.
Yeah, and if you're a, like, if you eat meat, at least the roast dinner you could go, I'll just have the meat because that's kind of lighter.
Yes.
So it was a sweet potato roularde as instead of the meat, so which is like the heaviest, heaviest in Cheltenham.
What's a roularde?
It's a posh pasty, Rob.
So you didn't eat the roast dinner?
I didn't eat.
Yeah.
And then I just got... And then I had two large glasses of red wine while I was doing my book signing.
Stop yeah. it. Yeah.
And so, obviously, I was buzzing by that. I was like, I don't need to eat. Get in the car back.
How long? It's about a four-hour drive, isn't it?
No, three hours. And then went to bed and woke up and I'm like, I haven't eaten since yesterday lunchtime.
What did you have? What was your last meal?
Well, this is the even more embarrassing thing, Rob.
You didn't have roulade again, did you?
No, I didn't. I was just trying to eat well, right? So I had tofu and asparagus, Rob. That's all I had.
I don't think your life's very nice.
It's shit.
All self-inflicted.
I know. I'm an idiot.
Do you know what I do? I think I was thinking about this earlier. I think out of the two of us, you have the sort of more extreme sort of meltdowns where I fly off the handle quite quickly. But sometimes your life's like a puzzle that's been jumped on and just explodes into a million pieces, and you're on the floor trying to get the roulade, the tofu, the cab's waiting. It's like that when the baby's young because of schedule. You've got no schedule to rely on.
It's all
and
over.
No sleep.
It's all
sleeping?
Over the shop. Yeah. Also, it's got a bit better than last time, Rob.
You had a new technique where the baby gets in the bed and you go and sleep in the spare room.
So that was a positive, wasn't it? Stay in the bed.
Oh, you're in the bed. You're back in the bed. Good news.
Yeah. So it's an astonishing thing that this baby can do, right? Because he goes to bed at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
He manages to wake up at 5 past 5 on the fucking dot every morning.
Like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick gym session, protein shake, back to bed.
But I don't know how he does it.
It's always 5 past.
Basically, it's always within 10-minute range. And you're like, how are you doing this? You sleep for exactly 10 hours, whatever.
Oh, that is a good 10 hours though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great.
Because you get your evenings.
Yeah, it's superb. And as so long as you get, till 5. Yeah,
I think it's better that they get up early if they're properly asleep.
Totally.
That's good though. So how old's the baby?
5 months.
Look, Josh, 2 months ago, your life was in pieces. This is an inspirational story. There's people listening here,
exactly.
Right in the fucking front line of it, 3 months in, and it's terrible, waiting for the regression, and they think, how can this regress? Oh, yes, boy, it can regress. It will get worse, but then it'll get better, and before you know it, you're having two glasses of red wine and not eating.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a student, like a posh student.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of 5-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Yeah, so at 5 a.m. he wakes up and he feeds, and then we put the things to keep him in the bed, and then but I found I've got a space on the bed now, Rob. When he comes into the bed, I now sleep at the bottom of the bed horizontally,
like a dog.
Yeah,
like a little foot dog,
like a dog at the bottom of the bed.
So what about Rosie's feet? Are they not in your face?
No, because I'll go. So they'll be about my knees. And my feet all go off the end of the bed because I'm too long for the width of the bed.
How small's this bed, mate?
Oh, come on now!
I don't want to do height banner, but you shouldn't be longer than your bed. What is it?
It's a king. It's a big bed.
You're a big man. It's a big bed. So your feet are off the end.
I'm going to say it, Rob, and go home and try it. Not go home. You're at home. Go upstairs and try it after this.
Yeah.
You probably have never lay horizontally across a bed, you'll be surprised how much longer you are than the width of a bed.
No chance. Well, if that's the case, Peter Crouch would be like a seesaw on the bed.
Well, he never has to do this. Because no bed is prepared for this because no one's ever done it before. No one ever sleeps horizontally across a bed.
So your feet are hanging off and your head's by the baby, but there's space around your head. So does Rose kick you in the knee?
Let me just draw your diagram and I'll put it on the group.
Okay, all right. I want to see the heat map of your bed throughout the evening. There's Josh there, dominating the left-hand side. Oh, it's 5 a.m. He's been relegated to the base as he snuggles up to the feet of Rose like a little dog. Talk about order in the pack and your pecking order. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It's mad.
I'm very excited about seeing the... We'll have to post this onto Instagram to see your...
There you go.
...diagram. Let's have a look.
I've done it on a post-it because that's all I've got.
I mean, also, Josh, I can't imagine what's going to be on this diagram that I haven't already got in my head.
Yeah, no,
you've not painted a complicated picture.
No.
I mean, that's exactly what I feel what's going to be. That's the most pointless drawing in the history of pointless drawings. Also, you didn't need to draw the bed. The post-it note could have been the bed.
That's a good point.
Hang on, so let me just talk through this photo. So which one's you?
The small one.
God, he's a big boy, your baby. Or Rose is tiny. Okay, yeah, I've got the picture now, because we'll see.
Okay.
In my head, though, in my head, you were on the other side of the bed. I don't know why. Nearest the door.
Oh, right, yeah, no, I know. I shouldn't I?
But you should be near. Isn't that a thing, nearest the door?
I know, but we're always on these sides and it's kind of stuck now.
It's a thing, isn't it? That is what it is. Well, that's good. So you get to sleep on the bed now, not in the spare room.
Yeah, from five till about 7:30.
It's mad, isn't it, that this is the best it's been for you in 5 months?
Look at it.
I can't stop looking at it.
No, that's my life. That's my life in a post-it note.
Oh,
how are
God.
You?
Oh, good. Yeah, good, actually. It's I've been away for the last 4 nights gigging. I've had the most insane schedule.
Nice.
Just because of, you know, the pandemic and things
are
like that.
Are people at your gigs podcast listeners?
Some are. Yeah, I got heckled with your name the other day in Exeter, you know, your local.
Oh, yeah, my
bit
local.
A local one. And someone said they're from Dartmoor, and they all just pissed themselves laughing. And I was like, why is that funny? And they went, that's because where Josh is from. And I went, fuck that guy, tonight's about me.
Because I get the odd podcast heckle. Because everyone's bought their tickets before the lockdown.
Yeah.
So there's loads... Most of the people haven't heard the podcast.
Yeah.
And I've got a bit of material about having a stiff neck. And someone always shout out stiff neck. And then most of the people will be like, what the fuck is that person shouting that out?
Yeah, it's very difficult because then you have to explain. When I did the Henley Book Festival, there was people asking me questions about the podcast that are quite specific and niche. And then I laughed and I had to go, so basically, then I had to try to remember all these things had come from. So like, you know, so basically my daughter saw an elephant trunk and called it, you know, it was a gay, and it just constantly having to explain myself. But it's nice to have a committed audience, Josh. It's good.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, but if you guys could, you know, pass it on to people that were fans of me 18 months ago, that'd be ideal. They are really...
They're really struggling to keep up the narrative of the stiff neck, loose neck, Stiffy McGee and Ben Bucky, I can't remember it. That's the thing, because we sort of just turn up and just speak because nothing's planned or organised. I know, shock. Who would have thought, you know, there's no planning meeting for our M4 chat. But so I'll say things and I forgot I've said them, and then people will come up in the street and just say something to me, like socks in the bath. Yeah. Like, what? Socks in the... You're all right, mate. Do you need some help? No, socks in the bath. Your kid likes socks in the bath. And because also people at different stages are listening to it. For them, it feels really current. And then you're like, oh, my God, I can't remember what that was. So, so thanks for the heckles about the podcast. But sometimes it is a bit confusing to the rest of the room. But, you're a big deal down there. Exit away, Josh.
Too right, mate. I'll stomp it. That's where I went to sick form.
Is it? I was away for 4 nights this week, gigging, lovely. And I came back, got in at 1 a.m. last night, so I got up this morning at 7 to do the school run, get them all ready, came downstairs like the hero I thought I was, to the two girls eating their cereal, I went, Daddy's home, and they One of them didn't look at me. The other one went, this is what she said. 4 nights I've been away. Desperately, I'm finding it really difficult being away from them because I'm not used to it. And she said to me, don't come near me.
Oh, mate.
Brutal. Absolutely skewered me. Don't come. Oh. And then I go to Lou, oh, have they missed me? And Lou goes, do you want the truth? When someone says you want the truth, the answer's no. So just say no. Don't try and like build me up with what's the truth.
What have they been up to without you?
Well, to be fair, like we've not done one for a little while, but they've just been at school really, and they're getting tired now because half term is approaching. But we got a funny note back from my 5-year-old's teacher. Yeah. So this, you'll love this, right? So he said that basically she made the class sort of laugh by accident today because she couldn't remember the teaching assistant's name.
Yeah.
So this like nice lady. So she went to her, oi, love. To get her attention. Oi, love.
You tart.
No, she did not say that. She went, oi, love, right? And then Lou was like, oh, yeah, cuss at you, Rob. Like, because obviously anything that's a bit more like that, I get the blame. But it ain't me. I don't know where she's got love. She gets it from Lou.
I've never heard you say it.
Lou says oi all the time. All the time. I've been down in Exeter too long. All the time, right? She says oi to get their attention all the time. So she gets that. And then Lou says, all right, my love, like that. So Lou, it's from
of
Lou.
Course.
But I've been taking the heat from it.
Oh. Because, yeah, if Lou says it, it's a very chilled out thing to say.
Oi, love, it's awful if I say that.
Yeah.
It's like someone's not paid at the market. Oi, love, come here. Don't take the piss, God. Will you?
And they obviously, that sounds like, it's so Beckett, isn't it?
Exactly.
That?
And when you're, you know, they're never going to think that's Lou, is it? So I took a huge amount of heat for that.
Did she get in trouble for it? Oi, love.
No, they just laughed and said, you know, you might know it's Mrs. whatever her name is, you must say
Mrs.
that.
Mrs. Love.
It's Mrs. Love to you, or Ms. Love, not Oi, love, Ms. Love. But yeah, they've been a bit like, they're getting a bit little bit cheeky and naughty of each other, right? I got up with them the other morning before I went away for work, and I gave them both yogurts, and I turned around, I heard giggling and this little weird noise, and they'd got straws out the drawer. They got these straws out, and I heard this noise like, whitt, 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 whitt. I turned around, they'd been getting yogurt in their straws and just spitting at each other's faces.
Oh, my word.
They were covered in yogurt. There was yogurt all over the floor and all over their faces, and they were pissing themselves laughing. And it's like, you don't want to be like a boring dad and tell them off.
No,
but I was like,
you're
you can't
square.
Gob spit at each other with straws, like yogurt straws. So I made them clear it all up. But it was just like, you know, when you just saw, you have to tell them like off, but it is quite, it's quite funny,
what?
Isn't it?
Yeah. And do you know what? I've already got that thing where I don't want to be the square, Rob. I want to be like, yeah, I get it. We all want to spit yogurt. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm like a
yeah,
cool
I know,
teacher.
I'd love to. Yeah. If I could sit there, my mate and just gob yogurt in his face and he did it back to me, I'd have a great afternoon.
I don't want
to
be the guy that's saying you can't spit yogurt.
Yeah, but then I sort of think, why can't we? We'll clear it up. It's just something we do. How many people need to do it before it's a cultural thing? You know what I mean? Going, oh, it's a bit disgusting. And I think you'll find in our culture, that's just what we do. But I don't know. Maybe I could invent that as a new thing, just gobbing yogurt at each other's faces.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
No. Josh, I've got something to talk to you about here as well.
Yeah.
First of all, you'll love this. Lou listens to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Even though the other day she was so annoyed with me, she had to leave the room because she was sick of my voice, and she listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I went, how can you get the ump with me and then go in the other room after you've got the ump with me and listen to the podcast? And she went, because it's the edited version of you.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh, wow.
Essentially, I think I might need Michael to move in and just
snip out your conversation.
Yeah, tap me on the shoulder and just like, yeah, don't bother with that one, Rob.
Don't
Let's nip
with
that
the
one
M4
out.
Stuff.
Let's go, yeah, don't. She doesn't care about the M4, Rob. Just leave it. Just say she looks nice. Thanks, Michael. Also, you need to explain yourself, Josh. You're doing that Who Do You Think You Are? And you're related to Henry VIII.
The ultimate stiff neck.
Henry VIII, and explains your terrible views on women. And you've got a stiff neck. You'd need a stiff neck to survive it.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
They tried to chop my head off, but it wouldn't go.
Old Sally Stiffnet, your great-great nan, couldn't get the blade through.
No.
So that's been exciting.
I've been sworn to secrecy, obviously.
But it's in the paper,
isn't
it?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was.
And that's oh, such sorry, a dad cough. That's such a little granddad dad cough.
I just had a nut go the wrong way down.
Oh, you are eating then, are you? 18 hours?
I'm having a protein shake, Rob.
Are you? And a little nut in it?
Add a little bit.
You're trying to bulk up? Peanut.
No, it's just...
I'd love it if you got hench.
Do you think?
I'd love it if you just got absolutely...
like Joel Dommett?
No, not like Joel Dommett, because he's sort of athletic and lean, but I think just like massive arm, and like a tiny strong man. But I'd love to use to get hench, Josh, but really big and muscly, just like rock solid.
I just want to just not hate my body.
Just hate your body? Did you hate your body?
Yeah.
Do you hate your body?
I have done in the last month or so.
You've just got to put on a little bit of weight from from takeaways and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The amount of takeaways we had in the first 3 months of having a baby was unacceptable. It was out of control.
Yeah, but you can't judge yourself for that. That's fine. That's just life. And you can be fairly healthy with a takeaway if you get like chicken shish. You can't have chicken, but just something shished.
Yeah. Sweet potato roulade shish.
Roulade. That's sweet potato roulade shish.
What were we talking about that made us... I was saying something and then I choked on a nut, but I can't remember what it is.
I don't know. I do want this. I've had sort of waves of parent panic recently. Sometimes you feel all right and then all of a sudden you feel bad and it's mental. So I think this is a good place to talk about it. I was just like on TikTok and there was a TikTok going, start them early and then you never know what they can achieve. And it was like images of like this 6-month-old on a climbing frame and then it moved to like 8 months old and they're like doing pull-ups and then like 18 months old and they're like literally flying across this home gym climbing frame setup and it was like future gymnast and I was like, oh my god, I never taught my kids how to be a gymnast at 8 months.
No, okay,
so on this spiral of going, well, that's you're a terrible parent, aren't you? You're not helping them have opportunities to be a gymnast. And then I was like, I don't give a shit. Why am I beating myself up about not training my kid to be a mad gymnast at 18 months? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's so weird, all that kind of stuff. You don't want to be Richard Williams, the father of Venus and Serena. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Well, that's the thing. I just sort of think... But I think it's when you're tired, that's when you beat yourself up. And that's why parenting's so hard, is you're always tired. So you haven't got that sort of armour of confidence and self-worth to go, no, actually, it doesn't matter. They're very happy kids and doing their own thing. They don't have to be good at doing pull-ups at 18 months. I'm 35 and still can't do one. I've had a nice life.
But if imagine being able to do a pull-up. I will be able to do one if I keep drinking these protein shakes, Rob. If you want to read another book, yeah, lovely. Vegan protein shake, pop a banana in, bit of oat milk, oh, God, I'm boring myself. If you want to read another book that makes you feel good about being a parent, Rob.
Sorry, go on. I'm boring myself. Out loud.
Out loud. Do you know what, the other day, you know when occasionally, like, you're just like, you're on a bit of a
low. Is
that
your belly rumbling?
Yeah, because it hasn't eaten in 18 months.
It's had a nut,
18 weeks.
18 months.
18 hours. God, I'm so tired.
18 weeks.
I think
the wheels have come off already on this one. Oh, dear.
It was before last leg, I forgot I was mic'd up. You know when I just sit up boring myself?
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes before our last leg. And I just said to myself, I hate my life. And then I realised I was mic'd up.
Did anyone say anything?
No, I was literally just walking to the toilet and I went, oh God, I was just, you know, those moments of self-doubt when you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
This tired, yeah, a bit nervous.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically like, I'm nervous and I'm kicking out against my own life. And I thought, there's someone in the gallery there that's just heard me go, I hate my life.
And then they've got to direct you on live TV for an hour looking at you.
Let's do this.
Going, poor sod, look at him. Well, I think, though, that's the thing, though, with that kind of thing. Everyone does feel like that, but you just want to make sure you don't feel like that all day, every day. Because and the danger is, when you do feel like that, it's good to say it out loud and address it, because that's just that feeling at that point, and feelings come and go, and then you'll feel good again later on.
Yeah.
But it's about if you don't acknowledge it and you try and suppress it and keep it down, that's when it builds and gets horrible, because you're not being honest and open about it. So, in a way, it's good to say that out loud, Josh, but, you know...
Broadcast it to the director and the commissioner of Channel 4.
So, how's Josh getting on with the new series? And then he just says, I hate my life. Okay, well, coming up, Alex Brooker. So, in this part, Josh, you get cream-pied by Alex Brooker while Adam Hills laughs. Okay. Sounds good.
So who do you think you are? Yes.
Oh, yes, sorry. Who do you think you are? Yeah, King Henry VIII. That's out soon, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that.
It's out on Tuesday. Tonight, I suppose.
Tonight?
Oh, well, good. As in the night of this podcast going out. Yeah. Yeah, it was mad. Obviously, I didn't know any of these things. You get to see my school, Rob, my primary school, where there was four kids in my year in the opening scene.
Oh, yes, please.
And then it goes all the way, ends at a certain place local to you, Hever Castle.
Hever? Oh, that's where he lived, isn't it? Anna Cleves and all that.
And what's it called? Anne Boleyn.
Anne Boleyn. I think it was
which is
had
my
a few,
family
didn't
home, Rob.
Your family home was Hever Castle.
Well, Anne Boleyn's sister, Mary Boleyn,
yeah,
is my 14 times great grandma, and she had an illegitimate child with Henry VIII when he was married to her sister.
So that was like secret and not part of the.
But it was secret, and that is my 13 times great grandma.
Do you know what? That it's. Well, I did an ITV one, which is due to come out next year, and it's not like that.
Rob.
Scum from scum from scum from scum. As far back as you can find it, labouring in a field. Well, and you, little miss. It does explain your slightly posh behaviour.
Well, how is. None of the money fucking came through, Rob.
I know, but
none
just
of the power
thought,
came through. Just the chip on my shoulder.
The thought process of I'll get a cab to nursery and leave it running. That's what Henry VIII would have done.
He wouldn't have done the fucking nursery run.
God. Josh, I've got a little secret as well. I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, you know, there's been a petrol shortage basically only in South East London.
You haven't got all the petrol, have you?
I ain't got it all, but I'll tell you what I've been doing. It's actually the petrol queue situation is quite good for a parent wanting a break.
Oh, yes, please.
It reminds me of when, I don't know if I mentioned it here, where I used to go to the dump, and that was quite good.
Yeah, I love the dump.
Yeah, but there's a CCTV camera at the dump, and I always say to Lou, I'm going to check the CCTV to see what it looks like, and she thinks I'm checking to see if it's clear. I'm checking to see a queue, because I know I get in like 40 minutes of a podcast in the queue for the dump. Same with petrol. It's a sneaky little avoid parenting way, and also, you're doing something, babe, do you want me to go and get the petrol? Yeah, shall I? Yeah, you stay here. I'll do it. Don't worry. I'll go and go. Oh, thanks, Rob. You're a hero. No worries. It's all right. I'll be back in 2 hours with a meal deal. But yes, I did do that. But it looks like the petrol situation is sorting itself out now. So that's gone. But if it crops up again.
You dealt with it better than me because this was my disaster driving wise.
Oh, no, what's happened, Josh?
So Saturday,
yeah,
we were like, we've got to get more things in at the weekends. That's the problem. We've made this decision. We're going
What activities?
Yeah. We've made twice this week. We made the mistake of going 2-on-2 rather than 1-on-1. First one, 2-on-2 at Westfield.
Because when the baby's
tough.
That small, the older one don't enjoy it. No one enjoys
it.
They
don't
want
the same thing.
Because one of you could go for lunch with the baby to see a friend, and you
exactly.
Say, yeah, and then it's only for like 6 months or so, and then it's mummy day, daddy day.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe if you do that in the days and then, you know, mummy day, daddy day, and then you two can see each other in the evening, then that way everyone's enjoying themselves. You get a break with the baby. I know the baby's still difficult, but you can do...
it's not as difficult as...
No, yeah. Because it's your activity, isn't it? You can go for lunch or visit a friend and the baby's there, whereas with the older one, you've got to do, like, trampolining or the park or something that they want to do.
Yes. So I then... for Saturday, we decided to go to... Epping Forest, classic.
Nice.
It was so difficult to get out of the house, Rob, that we eventually got into the car at 3:10.
Well, yeah, you've been up since what? 7:30? 5:00?
Yeah, 7:30. Yeah. I achieved basically nothing in the day. Got in the car at 3:10.
I find this is sometimes just like a shit in the pants, keep washing, changing clothes, little cycle. Oh, I need a feed now. Oh, now it's nap time.
Yeah.
You can't get out. So you get out 3:10 Sunday.
Possible.
Or Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday, yep.
Drive to Epping Forest, which is 30 minutes. Lovely. Now, I haven't driven the car in a month because of the petrol crisis. I was just like, I'm not going to... I'm only going to use it in emergencies. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go to Epping Forest. 0.5 tank of petrol. Lovely. Get in. Still not done the fucking tyres, mate. Unbelievable. Get the warning about the tyres. The warning now is it says... your tyres need pumping up. Don't go over 80. I'm like, I'm not allowed to go over 80. Anyway. That's the law.
Yeah. And also, don't kill your wife.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't smoke heroin. All right, fine.
Yeah, don't rob a bank as well while you're at it, okay? Oh, thanks, sir. Thanks for all these rules you're giving me, just so I know what I'm up to. Fuck's sake, I'm ringing the garage. I'm doing 90 miles an hour down a motorway and the tyre blows out that was too flat. What are you going to do about it? Ring the police. You was doing that against the law.
I get there, drive there, find a parking space. Lovely. It's only 20 to 4. We've still got a good hour before the sun goes down. Pull up. As I turn the engine off,
yeah.
Get the warning that the battery is very low.
I wish I could see your face.
And it says...
So at the moment, you're dealing with three warning lights. Low petrol, low battery,
no
air in the
tyre. Astonishingly, petrol is the only thing that's fine.
The actual crisis is just Josh Widdicombe. The Josh Widdicombe crisis, not the petrol crisis.
It says a battery is dangerously low or something very low. It then recommends that I just immediately drive around. To you know...
Yeah, you charge it up, going a long run, recharge it up.
I've just driven for half an hour.
It's not long enough, Josh. You've sat idle for a month.
I know. So I phoned my dad, who knows all about cars. He's like, it'll be fine. Just, you don't need to drive straight away. Just go to the forest. He said, I would get back in your car before you need to use the lights, though.
God, that's a worrying...
Yeah, that's a worrying thing. Yeah. But obviously... overshadows the walk around the forest. This knowledge that there's a chance we're going to get stuck. Like, there's no way of relaxing in a forest.
You might as well just carried on driving because there's no fun to be had now. It's a pure anxiety, will the car start walk?
Yeah. And then, on top of that, when I'm in the forest, I realise, due to the battery situation, I've forgotten to pay and display as well. So that's hanging over me as well.
Oh, God.
It was... Now, I should say, disappointingly, the car did start and we did drive home. So don't... That's not going to be... But it's the most stressful half-hour walk through a forest I've ever had in my life.
In a way, it's weird doing this podcast because if it didn't start, you're upset, but you're also going, this is going to be so good for the podcast. I'm going to start doing some voice notes now while the kids are crying. But yeah, you can't relax when you think that might happen.
So you're walking around a forest thinking, am I stuck here?
So did you drive... You drove it home and it was fine.
It was fine. Now, I don't know what I do now.
Well, it's not going to start now because you should have taken it for a longer drive at that point.
Well, I drove it home and it didn't give me the warning when I got home. So
yeah,
I don't know whether that's done enough.
It's slowly going down now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do I need to get in now?
It's probably gone.
Oh, for God's sake. So what do I do What do I do now? Have I not got a car anymore?
Well, yeah, it won't start now because there's no battery to power it.
So I could just sit in it.
You can sit in it if you want, you could push it, but you will have to ring probably the AA or RAC to come out to...
For crying out loud.
Charge it or
just
jumpstart it.
Just because I haven't used it in a month.
Yeah, or you can remove... I mean, I'm going to suggest this to you, but you're never going to do this and you won't know how. Remove the battery, take it indoors and get a battery charger and charge it up yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't know which bit the battery is.
So, yeah, but it might start, but the longer you leave it, the more likely it won't.
So what do I need to do? During a petrol crisis, I need to drive around for 2 hours using petrol to charge up my battery.
Yeah, but the battery isn't aware that there's a crisis. It's not sort of chosen this point. It's not like, well, this is very considerate of you, battery, to decide now to run out. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
So how often do I need to be using my car?
I mean, I'm not saying that you need to polish it twice a day and do detailing on it, but I would suggest giving the tyres some air and having a battery charged.
But I mean, how often to stop my back this happening again?
I'd probably use the car like twice a week, minimum.
I thought I was doing a good thing by not using the car, Rob, and now look at me.
I just think the message I think they're trying to get out is drive more using petrol. I think that's the vibe. I think that's what we're heading for. Diesel's bad. Keep driving with petrol.
Okay, good.
Josh, this is funny though. I've got to, I've got to say this. Book's out this week. My book is out this week.
Yes, your book's out this week.
But this isn't just a shameless plug.
Are you going to Cheltenham Festival?
Yes, I am going to Cheltenham Festival to do a book talk on Friday.
The absolute stiff neck central. I cannot wait to hear how Rob Beckett gets on at Cheltenham Literature Festival. You'll love the gig.
Oh, mate, I'm going to have a rock-hard stiff neck and a rock-hard roulade, down a couple of bottles of wine and let rip. Or is he just talking about the book, innit? Just like...
It's great. You sit there, you talk about the book, you have a couple of glasses of red wine, and then you sign loads of books for people.
I don't know, but it does feel a bit self-involved, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? I know I'm doing
Rob,
it, and I've agreed
to... around every night and do stand-up about yourself.
Yeah, I know, but that's me being... That's jokes, isn't it? Me just going, actually, I decided to write the book. Fuck off, mate. No one cares.
You don't do that. You just... No, that, yeah, there's none of, like, what was your... It's all just like... Just do the best, funniest bits from the book as if it was a conversation.
Yeah, just have a laugh and then take some questions. Anyway, it's not about the book. The book's coming out on Thursday. A Class Act is in shops. But the reason I'm bringing it up is, one, because the publishers asked me to, but secondly, more importantly, my kids have seen the book, right? I gave them the book. They started.
I haven't got the book yet.
It should be coming. There should be a box arriving.
All right, okay, cool.
There's a book coming for you. Yeah, because I sent out a little gift box to people which got a bucket hat in it and some drinks.
Oh, yes, please.
And you choose if you're middle class or working class and you put the hat on the
right
way. The
problem is now I'm royalty.
I know, you need a new hat. I think they call it a crown. crown hat, that's what they call it. Anyway, so the book, there's loads of photos in the books and the girls were looking at it laughing because there's loads of photos of me as a kid, blah, blah, blah. But there's a photo of me at a festival. I think it was a bee festival, and I'm sat next to like a hoarding, and on it someone has graffitied "piss here" and an arrow pointing down, and I'm sat underneath it. A quirky comedy pick. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sat there, and then as we're reading it, my five-year-old goes, "Oh," my five-year-old reads it, goes, "Oh, piss here." I was like, "Pardon?" It says "piss here." I went, and then she was like, "What's piss? What's piss?" And I was like, "No, you can't say that." You know, I should have left it, but I panicked. She lost her mind. She went, "Piss here." So what? I went, "Oh, piss is like a rude word for pee pee and wee wee." She went, "Someone wee wee, someone pissed on the floor." I'm like, "Oh God, like that." She's going, "Piss here, piss here, piss here, piss here," and just shouting, "Piss here," right? And absolutely, she giggles so much. And like, I can't really tell her off because it's written in a book that I've shown her.
Yeah,
of course. I mean? And so it says, "Piss here." She keeps saying "piss here." And I was like, "No, you mustn't say that," right? And then she was in the corner.
Oh, going, once you're saying you mustn't say that, it's game over,
yeah,
Rob.
She kept going,
it's game over.
She kept going, piss here. No, you can't say that. Now we've settled on, you're allowed to say it in the house, but not out the house.
Oh, she's struck a deal.
Yeah, so now every time anyone comes in, she gets the book, runs to the door, anyone. Like, if it's the delivery driver, the postman, anyone, she opens it up on that page and goes, "Piss here," and just points at the word "piss
amazing.
Here. And now the three-year-old knows it, because I came home and she was laughing, giggling, going, "Piss here, piss," and Lulu was going, "No, you can't say that, you can't say that." And then the three-year-old just looked at me and went, "Piss." Just, she knows the word "piss" now. And I heard them, and one of them said, "Daddy, I need a piss."
Oh, no.
So they're fully
over.
Pissed.
It's over, mate.
So I've said they're not allowed to say it at school.
Oi, love, is going to be the least of your problems by this time next
week. Oi, love, piss. Oi, love, I need a piss. Where's the bog? I'm going for a slash. Is that right with you, darling?
Your house is a building site, Rob. Your house is like... It's
Oi, darling. Oi, love, I'm going for a piss. All right, I need a slash. I'll be back in five, yeah? Cool.
Do you have to make a draw of tea with six sugars in it?
Yeah, cup of tea won't go amiss, treacle. All right, darling, see you in a bit. Wait. Now, girl, stop it. You're being very rude. You're embarrassing mummy and daddy. But yeah, so yes, if you get the book, piss here will be there. But be careful reading it in front of children because they can read now, kids, these days.
They can.
It's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. Right, Josh, we spoke for ages. Do some Instagrams maybe on Friday.
I've got some good emails.
And yeah, let's do some Instagrams Friday. Small business shout out now. I'll do this one. Oh, I'm going to do this one. Because I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram. I had to put an Instagram post out. Because in my book, Josh, I talk about having slight mental health issues in the past, which I was at a very low point, but I'm absolutely fine now because I sort of told people. And it's all detailed in the book, and it's a very small part of the book. Most of the book's loads of silly stories about my massive nipples during puberty and drunkenly talking to Stephen Hawking. However, there is a small bit that the press have jumped on. So for this small business shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to this charity, the Matt Palmer Trust, and it's a mental health charity. You can go to mattpalmertrust.org.uk, and it's a charity set up in honour of my friend who sadly took his own life through mental health problems. And it's all about raising awareness of mental health, especially in men, and how you can donate. And they're very good, Matt Palmer Trust, because they're like they send you to places that have already existing courses and access to help and stuff. So you can go on the mattpalmertrust.org.uk or Matt Palmer Trust on Instagram. And if you want to donate, you can text Palmer, P-A-L-M-E-R, and £5. So you just text P-A-L-M-E-R and then the five pound, the little pound sign, and five to 70470 to support this mental health charity. And yeah, all the info's on the mattpalmertrust.org.uk. So that's my small business shout out this month.
That is a good one. Do you know what? I'm just going to grab... I've had a good idea for what would work off that small business-wise, because... Yep. Let me just go and grab it. One sec. I'll be 30 seconds.
Okay. 30 seconds is a long time for old Bobby Beckles to fill, but I'll give it a go. Actually, I can't be bothered. Michael, just edit this bit.
God, I'm out of breath, Rob.
Where did you go?
I ran downstairs.
Where do you live? Eiffel Tower?
It bloody feels like that sometimes. No, it's the house is too thin, so it's taller than it should be for the amount of rooms it's got.
You're fat.
A bit like my bed, too thin.
You sound like it sounds like you've just done Strictly and you're waiting for the judge's comments. Yeah, thank you. You've been training really hard on this, and Foxtrot doesn't come easy, but OT's been brilliant with me.
If I hear one more person on Strictly say they've been training hard. Anyway. They've all been training too hard this year. They're too good.
I'd love it if someone goes, do you know what? Thanks for that, because I've done fuck all this week. I just thought I'd freestyle it as I come out, you know?
I mean, Judy Love's fucking amazing. Anyway.
Is she? I've not seen any of it. I've been away. Is she good? Yeah. Keep Judy Love.
Do
we're a big fan of
Judy
Love from this
we
podcast.
Love Judy Love.
She's her episode's great if you've not listened to it. Very funny, but also she's had a very tricky route to the top of her chosen career. So she's smashing it. Good luck, Judy. Keep voting for her.
Well, on that, right? Bizarrely, she talked about her postnatal depression. And I wanted to just, for a small business shout out, when I was at Cheltenham Book Festival yesterday.
Yep.
A woman who listens to the podcast came up to us, and she was an author, and she gave me her book, which is called Something to Live For, My Postnatal Depression and How the NHS Saved Us. And it's a book about her dealing with her postnatal depression, which she said was very, very bad. I've leafed through it when I'd had a couple of glasses of red wine. And I enjoyed it. It's a strong word, obviously. Is that the wrong word?
You enjoyed it. You enjoyed the impact the book had on you.
It's very good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you wasn't happy that the situation occurred.
No,
I think
exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how many glasses of wine you have to enjoy that. That's some sort of fuck.
But
yeah.
It's good, right? Something to
love
live
that
for.
Book.
By
great
Lord.
Read.
Great read. An absolute page turner.
Most I've laughed in years. Josh Widdicombe, you sick bastard. No, it's a very interesting book about a serious topic that had a great impact on you.
Also, it was what was really nice, I said, how are you now? And she's pregnant again now. So that was very nice.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, lovely.
So thank you for listening to the podcast, Laura. She said she really appreciates how much we talk about mental health on it. So that is Laura Canty's Something to Live For.
Perfect. We'll do some more businessy stuff next week. This was a charity spesh.
Charity spesh.
Okay, well, I'll see you on Friday. Oh, apologies last week. It wasn't Jessie Ware. It was Charlotte Church due to a technical issue. So
yes.
We will be having
done Jessie Ware. It wasn't that we confused Jessie Ware and Charlotte Church.
Yeah. They both, two birds that can sing in it. No, there was a technical issue, okay?
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say birds. That was bad. But I was doing it in an ironic character.
Exactly.
That sounds a little bit like me.
You've been doing that ironic character for 10 years and it's doing you well for you.
It's doing all right. But so Jessie Ware is not... We've got Michael McIntyre this week and Jessie Ware next week. That's the lineup. McIntyre, Ware.
That's the situation, isn't it? You've got so many stars on the bench. It's difficult to get them in the right order.
It's like Man City. It's going to be like Newcastle next season. Just feeding through. Mbappe, Haaland, you know, Joe Willock. Right, see you on Friday with the Michael McIntyre episode. Bye.
Bye.